pause and get a little breath. So I have to sort of give a little commentary in the midst. Singing is hard on an old man. But it's good for an old man, okay? Just to be very honest, men, let me sort of express something to you right now. There have been men in our church for years that have just sat there like knots on a log and never sang a bit. They just soaked it in. I guess they just love my voice. I don't know. But I'd sit out and watch them. I think you should participate. I think you should open your mouths and sing. I think you should. I think it'd be good for you to do that. Now, if you're one of the guys that we're talking about here, let me share something with you. I cannot even see your mouths move right anymore. So you're safe. You're safe. There's no judgment. I can't even see you. What's more than that, I can't even hear you. I mean, old eyes and old ears. I can't even hear you anymore. But I would commend it in your life. It's a joyful thing to me to wake up every morning with a song on my heart. His mercy is more was my song this morning. And it melted my heart. It melted my heart. I needed to have that song this morning. You wake up with a song every day. If you wake up with a song every day, let me share something with you. You don't have any bad days because you got that song. You got that song. The next verse says, I've heard about a mansion. I've heard of that from John 14. The Lord said to us, to his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. Now, that's the old King James, but now a lot of the new versions just say has many rooms. Many rooms. That's all right. That's all right. No, sirree, it's not all right. Mansions is not even a big enough word for what the Lord has prepared for us. So the mansions is what it is. I've got a mansion up there. I've got an address. I live on Linda Lane now. We changed the name of our address for Linda's sake. For 32 years, we were at 150 Middle Fork Road, and now we receive our mail at 40 Linda Lane. Now, the 40 comes from the post office. They let me change the name, and so we named it Linda Lane. It's a good thing. I don't know if I can name my lane in heaven or not, but I know one thing. The mansion will be more than my thoughts could ever imagine. It will be glorious. Are you going to go there with me? Are you going to go there with me? You know what? I want to die with a song on my heart. I want to die with victory in Jesus. That's what we're singing right now. The reason we're singing it this morning is the passage is Romans 8:28 down to the end of the passage. That is a text of victory. A victory, my brothers and sisters. We are more than conquerors through him who died for us. We're more than victorious. I don't know what I can hardly imagine. I was a Hartsville Yellow Jacket for years and years here in Hartsville, Tennessee, and rejoiced in being on the football team. I was hardly worth anything on the field, but man, I loved it. We would shout when we won. My goodness, we'd hit the center of the field. The whole crowd from the stands would come in and hug all of us guys, and we loved it. That ain't nothing compared to the victory that's found in Jesus Christ the Lord. I'm just going to read it to you. I've heard about a mansion he's built for me in glory. I've heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing in the old redemption story, and some sweet day I'll sing up there that song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me, and he bought me with his redeeming blood, and I love him. I love him, and I've never seen him. I love him today with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I love my Lord Jesus. It's a sweet thing to me just for his name to come up. No hard thoughts there, only gloriously wonderful thoughts. He loved me and you him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Turn with me to Romans 8:28. I've got 14 pages of notes right here, and I'm going to throw them down right there because I'll never get to them. Hey, I even did this. I can't read my other notes because I wrote them with a pen, and I said, well, I need them bigger. So I got me one of these big black markers so I could read it. And amazingly enough, when it gets to right there, I can barely read it down there. I can't read it. Romans 8:28 says this, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. And Paul almost stops there because what he has just shared is a tremendous blessing. I'm not even going to preach on that part, but tremendous blessing. And then he says, what do we say to these things? And then he makes this most amazing statement. What do we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I would share with you a very profitable contemplation in your life is to contemplate God for you. God for you. That God is for you. He's for you. Let me share with you, there's victory in that thought right there if you think about it a minute. Who can defeat me? Who can defeat you if God is for you? Who can take you down? If God is for you, it can't happen. It can't happen because of who he is. How great is our God? How great is our God? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay any charge to God's elect? Who shall lay any charge? God's elect. It is God that justifies. And that's where I'm going to hold my hat right there today on that particular part of verse 33. It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine or nakedness, peril or sword? As is written, for thy sakes we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. I'd like to stop there just a minute and imagine with you just a second. There was an explosion of evangelism that took place following the ascension of our Lord, and the numbers, I believe, went off the charts. As they saw men and women laying down their lives, going everywhere, just like Paul, and sharing the wonderful good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ the Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I believe there was an explosion of it. It got so bad, though, that the rulers of Rome at that time, they were called emperors, had to slow things back just a little bit, you know. Had to say, well, guys, y'all sort of tone it down a little bit, tone it down. Well, they didn't tone it down. This made them more intense, more intense. They toned down someone who loves the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord gave great grace for many, many, many of his children to fulfill this verse. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? They went through great tribulation. Distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? I'll always remember, this has been 35 years ago, an illustration that was given to me. I've shared it in days gone by, but a bunch of guys are new. How many are hearing me for the first time? Ah, I just knew I had one or two or three. Anyway, it was shared that the emperor of Rome said, well, if you ain't going to work for me, if you're not going to stand by me in society. I'm just going to draft you and put you in the army. So they drafted all the Christian men. They said, that'll shut them up. So they said, and so they had Christian battalions and Christian platoons everywhere. They had them everywhere. And to add insult to it, the emperor, after he drafted them all, and they got thousands and thousands and thousands of these Christian warriors now fighting for Rome, he sent out a decree, the emperor did, that all of them were to bow the knee to the emperor. And so this story was told to be true. I think this is found in Fox's Book of Martyrs. This story is true that the general assembled his platoons and said to all of them, said, the emperor's called and said, we're to bow the knee to Caesar as king, as God. And everybody bowed except one particular platoon, which was a Christian platoon. And they stood. And the general said, hey, guys, y'all got to bow. And they said, we can't bow. Our king is Jesus. Our God is Jesus Christ the Lord. We believe in him. We believe in him. That's where we are. And it was wintertime at the time, and they were camped by a small lake. And so these guys, and they told him, said, we will fight for you. We will do everything for you. And this was his most beloved battalion. We'll call them a platoon because there wasn't that many of them, because the number of them was told. He said, guys, I want you to fight for me. Y'all are dear. You have to bow the knee, though. The emperor sent the word down. And they basically said, we will fight for you. We will die for you. But we cannot bow like this. And to be very honest, in history, tens of thousands lost their lives because they would not bow to the emperor. Tens of thousands lost their lives. The general said, take your boots off, guys. And it was cold outside. The lake was frozen over. Said, take your boots off, guys, and walk out on the lake. They took their boots off and walked out on the lake. There were 40 of them. There were 40 of them. They were freezing. It was agonizing. And then they struck up a song. Hey, listen, I'll share with you a song can give a whole lot of deliverance to you if you just strike it up. They struck up a song, and it went like this. 40 soldiers for Christ are we, and we will not deny our God. All the rest of the platoons that were there, listen to this for several hours as they sang, 40 soldiers for Christ are we, and we will not deny our God. And they stood out there, and they stood out there, and stood out there. 40 soldiers for Christ are we, and we will not deny our God. And they listened to it from the sidelines. They listened from the shore. The general listened to it. 40 soldiers for Christ are we, and we will not deny our God. And then from the lake, one man walked off the lake, went up to the general and bowed the knee and went to his tent. Guess what? The battalion, the platoon, couldn't sing anymore. They were stuck because they were 40 soldiers. And so there was silence. And this is the staggering, told to be the truth, written in Fox's Book of Martyrs. The general took off his shoes. And I sort of believe he had this mindset. He said, I want to die like those men are dying. I want to die with a song on my heart and with a champion out in front of me. I want to die for a God like that. He took his shoes off and walked out onto the lake with those 39 men and struck up, 40 soldiers for Christ are we, and we will not deny our God. Did you know those men, as men like those, turned the world upside down? Now, Paul, it was argued that Paul turned the world upside down. But it was because of myriads of men such as that who laid down their lives because they knew they had victory in Jesus Christ the Lord. They had victory in Him. They did not have to worry about tomorrow. All things work together for good. We just read it. In verse 37, it goes on. I'll get done with my passage here in just a minute. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Our Lord and our Savior loved us. And then the Apostle Paul waxes poetic. For I am persuaded that neither death, death is that thing that's facing every one of us. It's that great moment that we struggle toward. I've been associated with it very personally in the last couple of years. And it's a hard thing to face. My wife's picture is on my phone. All I have to do is pick it up and I see her. Right there she is. It lights up when I disturb it. Sometimes it lights up when I don't want it to light up. But anyway, her picture comes up. Her picture comes up. Paul said, I am persuaded neither death, which is a great separator of men, great separator of families. Pray for those up in Kentucky. I understand the numbers moved up to 25. It was 8 and then went to 19 and now 25 have been recovered from the floodwaters that have taken place up there in Kentucky. So difficult is that time. Paul said, I'm persuaded neither death. And then I would share with you, he said something unusual. He said, nor life. Life. Sometimes the hardest thing is to live. Sometimes the hardest thing is the day we've got to get through. Sometimes I fight to just get through the day. But he said, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, get this, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. My brothers and sisters, this is a passage of victory. That's the reason I sang the song, Victory. I went to the office this morning. Our hymnals, I can't read them anymore. So I put the little page down and copied it, cut it out and trimmed it real nice, put it back on the copy machine and put 1.67%, because I know I've done this before on those little ones. 1.67%. It turns into about a 14 or 15 font when it does that. And I can read that. I can read that. So I bring it with me like this. My brothers and sisters, there's victory in these passages right here. It's a glorious, wonderful victory. But what I'm going to bring to you this morning, and I'm going to have to watch my time because I would probably wax very long if I preached all this message. About 10 years ago, our beloved Pastor Justin, how long have you been an elder here?
6 years.
6 years. I'm going to say it's more like 10 years ago. He was just a snotty-nosed intern at the time. He needed a place to preach, and I don't know, I might have been just distracted that morning at the nursing home, and I asked Justin to come and preach. And Justin came and read from this passage. You probably don't even remember it. Do you remember it? Maybe. And he read from this passage, and he says, this passage brings to bear a great question that is in the hearts of all men, the whole human race, the great question that rises. And the great question, and I'm going to preach on the great question. That's, I'm preaching on your message, but that's the only thing I remember about your message was the opening line. Sometimes that's all we ever remember about the message. Boy, that was a good opening line, Chris. I didn't hear nothing else you said, but that was a good opening line. Well, that's the same thing. And oh, by the way, love Donnie Martin. Love Chris Davis. Love Justin DeLay. These men love y'all. And I want you to love them. I want you to love them. Love them. Do for them. Bless them. Bless them. I rejoice in them. I'm thankful for that the church has a continuity of leadership. But oh, good leadership. You say, well, Carol, we don't ever hear you preach no more. It's purposeful. It's purposeful. Because these guys have got to have pulpit time. And I'm the old man going out, and I'm hardly worth a flip at times standing before y'all. And they'll bring a powerful message that'll change your life, and the gospel will be manifested. But in the back of my mind, I say, I like to hear those men preach, and so I want to give them that opportunity. It's intimidating for me still. 40-plus years ago, I was thrust into the position of being an elder in the church. This was basically the words that the departing elders were saying to me. All the money in Trousdale County dried up. Everybody worked at the nuclear plant. Nuclear plant closed in one day. Nobody had a paycheck. The offerings of our church dropped from $100,000 a year at that time, which was unbelievably high, from $100,000 to about $6,000 or $7,000 in just a few days because nobody had a paycheck. We had four elders. One left. We can't let this happen again. History does not repeat itself. All right, you guys, history does not repeat itself. It may repeat itself. They say everything on the news right now is bad news about what's out in front of us. Let me share something with you. We've got good news here at this place. We've got good news here at this place. But the last elder out the door, I was a lowly deacon. You know what I'd done all the time that I've been in church? I taught 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds in Sunday school class. I'd never stood in the pulpit, and the last guy out the door said, Carol, we have decided that you're the biggest mouth in the church. You got the biggest mouth in the church, but we believe you can do it. We can believe you can do it. We want to ordain you as an elder in the church. And I said, no, no, 10,000 times no. I'm not able to be a I've never preached. I don't have any. I only have a little foundation. I don't have much. And they said, well, we will have to close the doors of the church. We will have to close the doors of the church. Well, that just flew all over me. You know why? Because in the 2 years that I'd been there, I had learned to love Grace Baptist Church. We'd fall on our faces in the floor at that old building and pray for our church and pray for love for our church and love for our Lord. And I said to them, okay, y'all can ordain me. So I became an elder. And boy, let me share something with you. It was an intimidating thing the first time I ever stepped into the pulpit. Matter of fact, the men knew it. The handful that were remaining, we had exodus, one right after the other left. Families that had come for the nuclear plant that had been evangelized and brought into Grace Baptist Church, dear, dear, dear Christian families. I can start listing their names. Just almost every week we would have a fellowship meal, sending them away. Thank you for coming from Georgia, from North Carolina, from Kentucky, from different places. And we got down to just 6 or 8 families. And those men that remained loved me because they knew how hard it was for me to step into the box, to be in the pulpit. One of them walked up to me and said, I think you need to do a study on this. And it was great. I think you need to do a study on this. And so I'd just take a book, and they would all get a book. And lots of times we couldn't even afford to get but one book. I just had the book. Nobody else had the book. I say all this because I want you to love Grace Baptist Church. Love your church. You know, the Lord says, I loved the church and I laid down my life for my church. And you as believers here today, as you stand under my voice right here, love our church. Don't. Don't be a dater. Be a keeper. Be a keeper. Someone who will stay by the stuff. Now, we went through a very tumultuous change Because I'd share with you, those four men that were before me were exceptional men, and they could preach the gospel. So I had to learn to preach the gospel. There was no money in the church. I get into saying things that I probably shouldn't say, but that's just to get it all where it is. There was no money in the church. And all of a sudden, I was the only elder there. And guess what? We had to pay bills. We had a water bill. We owned three buildings in downtown Hartsville. And guess what? We had a mortgage. Guess who had to go to the banker and say, "Mr. Dalton, I'm sorry, we can't pay our bills. We will try our best to do better in days ahead, but we can't pay our bills." And you know what that older man said to me? I got up off my knees because I was down on my knees pleading with him. He said, "Carol, I knew your grandfather, and I know your dad, and I know you. And I know that you're going to pay your bills. But let me comfort you right now. What you have just done, practically every person in this county has done in the last few days." I guess I was late getting to the prize. I guess he had done been trained by the other 500 that walked in and said, "I can't pay my bills. I can't pay my bills." He said, "We're all in this boat together. So let's hang tough and hang together." And you know, that was sort of a motto of the families that were in the church at that time. If one ate, we all ate. We had a common garden. We had 2-acre big gardens. All we had was eight. We had squash usually comes in first, and I ate so much squash one year that I got to where I hated squash. It was real hard for me. Real hard for me. I've run a rabbit and shouldn't have run so much. Y'all forgive me. Justin said, there's this great question. How can I be just before God? It's a great question in every one of our hearts. How can I be just before God? There are basically two thoughts on that in society. The first thought can be summed up in the Sermon on the Mount, and the second thought too, where our Lord Jesus said, "And broad is the gate and broad is the way that leads unto destruction, and many go in thereat. And straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads unto life eternal, and few there be that find it." And basically it could be said in this moment of thought regarding this great question, there are two ways that you can argue in society, and there's a tremendous part of society that goes along with this, and that is that my own righteousness avails for me in heaven. My own righteousness. Self-righteousness, in essence. That's the big one. That's the majority thinking. Back about 30 years ago, another young man in our church, we went to knocking doors. We felt that we had heard about evangelism explosion, and they'd asked people this question. And the question was, if you died in the next 5 minutes and stood before the Lord, and the Lord said, "George, why shall I let you into my heaven?" What would you say? And we'd always use the person's name that we were talking with. And so we went door to door here in Hartsville, Tennessee. Now, we got to couch it right. Hartsville, Tennessee. We might get an argument out of Smith County, and we might get an argument out of Macon County, but Hartsville, Tennessee is the buckle of the Bible Belt. I mean, we're dead center. Man, it's hard as hard can be in Trousdale County to find anybody that's lost. That's lost. Now, that's a lie. But it's hard. It's hard to find. At that time, it's hard to find anybody's lost. I said, guess what? Probably beyond 75% of the people we asked that question to gave the wrong answer. In the Bible Belt of the United States of America, the buckle of the Bible Belt in the United States of America. Listen, it's not a righteousness of ourselves. It's not of ourselves. It's not of ourselves. I'd get answers like this. I'd get answers like, "Well, I've been a good dad." Wrong answer. I've been a good mama. Wrong answer. We got this one several times. Well, I'm better than that sorry down scoundrel down the street. Wrong, 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 wrong answer. Wrong answer. Matter of fact, there were very few. And in my recollection, as we knocked on all the doors, we tried to knock on every door in Trousdale County. We failed, but we tried to knock on every door. And in knocking on those doors, we found a precious black lady. I remember very well. She's dead now. And she looked at me and said, "Oh, Carol, you know what I'd say to the Lord? I'd tell him the Lord Jesus Christ saved me when I was a young girl, and I have never forgotten what he did for me. I would appeal to the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ our Lord." And I wanted to shout. I wanted to shout. No one had truly articulated that. I believe I ran into a few pastors' homes that didn't even get their answer right. It's unbelievable. It's not found in what we do. It's found in the passage here we read. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. It's God that makes it right. It's God that takes us and cleanses us and washes us whiter than snow and gives us a robe of righteousness found, the righteousness of Jesus Christ the Lord. He can take a wicked sinner like you and like me, and he can plunge us into that blood, and we come out the other side whiter than snow, whiter than snow. That is what God does for his people. That's what God does. It's God that justifies. And you can imagine for just a minute. No. I see it differently now, Carol. I see it differently. What's that? Say, well, I'd stand before the Lord and I'd tell him the things that I've done. I've done all these things. And I've tried to be a real good man. I've tried to be a real good person. I'm tithed. I paid my debts. You know, we heard that a whole lot. I'd tell the Lord I paid my debts. Listen, there's a lot of people in here that treat their dogs. Well, let's make that back up. I don't think I put it in that crowd, in this crowd. There's a lot of people in Trousdale County that treat their gods, their dogs, better than they do the Lord God of heaven. They love their dog. They feed their dog. They give their dog whatever they want. When that dog wants to go outside, they let him go outside. When he wants to come back in, he comes back in. Some of them have even got doggy doors where they don't even have to worry about it so much. They got doggy doors. They treat their dogs so well. And yet the God of the universe, who is the great creditor, what does that mean? He is the one that we owe everything to. We owe life and health and blessing, everything we owe to God. And we don't pay our dues. We don't pay our dues. Listen, we're to be churchmen. We're to be those who come and attend and listen to the Word of God and listen to His workings in our life. There are two mindsets there. And their mindsets are dramatically different. And we're to be those that are dramatically correct in our mindset. It's God that justifies. It's not you. It's not me. It's not the works of my hands. Job in Job 9, verse 20 says this. He says, if I justify myself, and he's speaking in the context before the Lord, if I justify myself, y'all look it up, it's a good verse. If I justify myself, my own mouth will rise in judgment against me. Let me get it right. Let me get it right. I'm old and can't remember nothing. If I justify myself, my own mouth will condemn me. If I say I am perfect, I shall also prove myself perverse. Perverse. Job said those words. Job said those words. You know what words were said about Job in Job? It begins the story of the life of the man Job. The greatest man in the East. The Lord God says this about him. He's a man. There's no other man like him. He's righteous. He's upright. There's nothing like him. There's none like him in all the earth. He's a perfect and upright man. He fears God and he shuns evil. Those words were said to the devil, said to Satan himself about Job. Job, we know the story of Job more so, and we forget this part, but more so we know about man Job because of all of the great devastating afflictions that he had to endure. Surely Job, who came out on the other side shining, surely Job would be someone who could justify himself before God. Surely if there was a man in all of the history of time that could justify himself, it'd be Job. But he says no. He says no. I cannot justify myself. If I justify myself, my own mouth will condemn me before the God of heaven. My own mouth will. I think he's basically saying that when you stand before the Lord, and I can imagine it in a, sort of like a court of law, and the prosecuting attorney stands up, said, I want to call a witness against this man right here. I want to call a witness against this man as to why we should let him into heaven. I want to call a witness against him. And everybody turns around and says, well, who are you going to call? He said, I'm going to call that man himself. Right out of his own mouth. And here's the record. Here's the record. So that I might share with you all a confession. I've been entirely too mouthy over my life. It wouldn't take him very long to find a mountain of evidence that would condemn me. Out of my own mouth. Wouldn't it be terrible to say in that day, I'm perfect? That's what he said. If I say I am perfect, that's the words of Job. He said, I'm so wrong. And even if you were to ask anyone in our world, would you say you're perfect? The whole world would say, oh, no. The great religions of the world, if you were to ask them, if you were to stand before the Lord in the next few minutes, would you be able to? And most of them would say, no, I can't stand before him. I don't want to give an account today. I'm not ready to give that account. I'm just not ready. Please know this, that in Christ Jesus the Lord, you don't have to fear readiness. In Christ Jesus the Lord has already paid that price. In Christ Jesus the Lord, we can stand before him, and we sing it all the time. Bold shall I stand in thy great day, for who ought to my charge shall I? That's quoting Romans chapter 8. Who can stand in that day apart from Christ? No one. But who can stand in that day? Those who know the Lord Jesus, who have found him true as Savior and Lord. Been blessed by him. I would share with you that we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. But the other side of the coin, that's sort of the false way, the broad way that leads into destruction. There's this true way, and that true way is found in Jesus Christ the Lord. It's found in him. No other place. No other place we can go. Where can we go but to the Lord? There's no other place to go. We go to him. And we believe upon him. We rest in him. We repent of our sins before him. We change our lives for the glory of his name. We do all these things. But it's not us doing anything. It's him doing everything in our lives. He's the one who justifies. If there's any good thing in you or if there's any good thing in me, it's there because Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and for me. That's the reason. Jesus Christ died that we might have life in him. We might have life in him. This is a passage of victory. I'd recommend you read it a little bit more often. Some of it gets a little heavy theologically. That's all right. But oh my goodness, to know that God is for us. To know that neither death nor life shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you for just a few moments. The crowd multiplied, guys. Hey, listen, the crowd multiplies. So that you might know, I was always late to church in the early days. I went and started at the nursing home, and we started real early at the nursing home. We'd get them old codgers out of bed early so I could be here at 9:30. Get them old codgers out early. But I seemed like I was always late. I was always running in. Whoever had the mic, whoever had the pulpit would hand me that. I'd run in here from the nursing home, almost mindless, without anything, just ready to preach. I remember one day I had this wonderfully white shirt. I sort of looked like Josh Sims back there. I had a nice shirt on, a white shirt. And there was this lovely lady at the nursing home that just loved me to no end. And she said, come here, Carol, let me give you a hug. And she came and gave me a hug. And she planted on my lapel right there the prettiest kiss you've ever seen in your life. I ran in the door of church, and I started preaching, and there were smirks all over the building. Smirks all over the building. My wife came up immediately after the service and said, do you not know what's on your shirt? And I said, no, what's on my shirt? I can't see nothing on my shirt. She said, go to the bathroom. I went in there, and there was the prettiest set of red lips right there. You ever seen? I want you to know, all kinds of things can happen to pastors over the years. I mean, but listen, but you still, you don't run from the job. You don't, well, I'm giving up. No, you don't give up. You don't give up. You press forward. When it's harder and harder and harder to stand, you stand. My brothers and sisters, young men in the church, listen, for us to endure as a church, some of you guys are going to have to stand up one of these days. Some of you guys are going to have to say, I'll raise my hand. I want to go for the Lord. I want to go for the Lord. I'm old. I'm old and going away. May the Lord bless all of y'all. And it may be that some old codger in here will stand up. But you stand and proclaim the Lord's blessing. Thank you for hearing me this morning. I'm rattled this morning. I'm a rattler primarily because it's very, very difficult for me to read my notes. I preach better on the radio than I do in person because I've got my notes right up in my face and I'm going right down through the list and I can preach on the radio. But I find it extremely difficult here to stay on point. But sometimes it's very, very good to run a rabbit. Sometimes people like to hear about rabbit runs. May God bless you today. I love you. I love you as my brothers and sisters in the Lord. And anything I can ever do, may God bless. Let's bow our heads and hearts. Father, we thank you that you brought to bear this tremendous plan of salvation. Who would have thunk it that in eternity past, Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit came together and said, we're going to save a people, and this is the way we're going to do it. The Son of God is going to come and become a man. He will be born the son of woman. He will be the son of David. And he will lay down his life, and in so doing, pay the price of all of the sins of God's people for all time. And whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I don't believe there's a believer in the house right now, Lord. And if you were to ask them, would you sell your faith? They would all say no. It's too precious. It's too precious. Lord, may we hold to our faith. with all that we are. And yea, Lord, we would plead with you that you, with more than conquering grace, would lead us day by day and throughout the remainder of our days for the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning. We appreciate it. Let's see. Justin preaches here in a minute or two. Justin will be up in a few minutes. Y'all enjoy your time around a cup of coffee or a cup of cappuccino, and we'll see you back here, and announcements will be made at that time. Thank you now. Hallelujah.